Thank you, Doug. Again, if you're visiting, I'd like to welcome you to the 1200. At this church, we really want to help everybody we can get to heaven. And that's why we've turned off the AC. We want to motivate you to not go down there. We apologize. Our AC went out this morning. I think it stopped. And so when people got here earlier, they realized it and turned it on. Now, here's the thing. This side is about 80 degrees, and this side is 74 degrees. I don't know what that says about you guys. But if you're uncomfortable, you want to go over there to the righteous side and get in the 74 degrees air, then you're welcome. This morning, we will attempt to help you fill in the blank of that question, I am blessed because. I am blessed because, and I'm sure there were a variety of answers, and we wanted to dig in a little bit and talk about this word blessed, blessed, blessing. Before we do that, I wanted to just share, there are many versions of Christianity in our world today. There are many versions of Christianity in our city. And there are some versions of Christianity in our church. Now, you know, when you have people, you have varying degrees of conviction and commitment. But it's important that we follow Jesus in regards to what he said a Christian is and was. Back when Jesus called the 12 to follow him, that's the beginning. And it's important that we don't vary in what we think about Christianity based on our opinions or our preferences. This is why in the 1200 we strive to follow him according to what Jesus said. And in Matthew 4:19, he says, when he calls his first disciples, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so from that, we really put that as our foundation statement in this church, that we as disciples, we want to follow Jesus. We want to follow him, not just follow him around and listen to him and applaud him and know a little bit about him, but follow in a way that we leave what is behind that's not like him. And we follow him, we change and we are transformed into his image, not ours. That we're growing to be more like him. And guess what? We never stop growing prayerfully. I pray that you can look back this year and go, wow, I'm more like Jesus this year than I was last year. Or maybe 2 years ago I had a real bad year and I went backward a little bit. But boy, I tell you, I'm learning. I'm becoming more and more like him. Thank you, God, for the trials. It helps me to be more like Jesus. And then when we follow and we're changed by that relationship, guess what? We want that for other people. It's natural. If you go to a great restaurant, what do? I ain't telling nobody about that one. I'm going to leave it all to myself. No, you're like, man, I went to this restaurant Friday, and it was awesome. You tell, it's an overflowing of what you experience. And so we, as disciples, we want to follow Jesus. We want to be transformed, changed in all ways, not just in our schedule. We come to church on Wednesday, Thursday, and then we come on Sunday. And then we read every day, and we pray. A little more than that. But boy, we're joining Jesus in his mission. We want people to know about him. And so you have a lot of people that just think Christianity is showing up at church or just believing in the Messiah. And there's a lot more to that, to Christianity than that. There are also varying definitions for spiritual words. spiritual words. We say them all the time, and, you know, a lot of people don't know what they mean. This word blessed. How many, you know, I remember being, you know, young, and I don't know how my parents or when my parents taught me about prayer or how to pray, but I used to pray like this. God, bless my dad. Bless my mom. God bless me. God bless the world. And I said it every night. But I didn't know what I was saying. What does it mean for God to bless? What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to have blessings on your head? What does it mean? How many of you are familiar with these sayings? Blessed by the best. How many of you are familiar with that saying? Blessed by the best. Huh? All right, what about this? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. I mean, we say that a lot in the South. Bless your heart. And I had a friend of mine who really, really took it to another level. He said, bless your bunny rabbit heart. I was like, wow, that's a curse, it seems like. You know, bless your bunny rabbit heart? I don't know where that comes from. It's a blessing to be here. I am blessed and highly favored. You ever heard that one? I am blessed and highly. I said, well, what about the other people? Are they blessed and lowly favored? Are you the highest favored of all? I mean, I go there in my mind. Anyway, I am blessed and highly favored. All right? Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. I guarantee you in this city you will hear blessing more than 10 times a week if you really open your ears to it. Blessing, blessed, blesser, blessed. Here's some blessing quotes by celebrities. Listen to this. Roger Moore, James Bond. Some are blessed with musical ability, others with good looks. Myself, I am blessed with modesty. Buzz Aldrin, the astronaut. Timing has always been a key element in my life. I have been blessed to have been in the right place at the right time. Ashton Kutcher. You know, the actor. He said, modeling is the best because you have to look hot, which comes easy to me, you know. I am blessed with that. Okay. What about Lil Wayne? I am blessed and thank God for every day, for everything that happens for me. Lil Wayne. Hillary Clinton. I feel very blessed to have a partner in life who supports me, who is enthusiastic about what I do, who has been a great father, and who will be a fabulous grandfather. President Jimmy Carter. There is always an element of self-delusion among people who believe they ought to be president. There is an underestimation of your opponent and an overestimation of your own abilities. This is compatible with being rich and powerful, the idea that we were blessed by God because we deserve to be blessed. Have you ever felt like you deserve to be blessed? Can we be honest? Have you ever felt like I deserve a blessing? It's about time. Hadn't had one in about a month and a half. Have you ever felt like God has just blessed your life? You look in your mirror, you look at your family, look at your life, you go, man, you've blessed me so richly, God. Have you ever felt like God blesses others a little more than he blesses you? Think about it. We usually ask God to bless us with what? What do we usually ask God to bless us with? Health, right? What else? Marriage, a spouse. Now, you know, sometimes, let's be honest, those who are married, the first year was a blessing. The rest of the years, it's work. But it's still a blessing. Be careful. That was my wife. God blesses me how? How does God bless us? Yes. What's that? Wisdom. Yeah, I mean, you go, man, what a blessing. I have discernment, I have understanding. What else does God bless us with? What do we ask God for, rather? Talent and ability. Okay. God, give me a blessing. What do we ask for? Prosperity. Yeah, yes. Job security. A raise. Right? Yes. Opportunities. Is that it? Okay. I thought you were going to say something else. You ended it saying. Okay. Yes. Yes, John. Getting through the day. Yeah. Great friendships. Yes, Beverly. Patience. Okay. Direction. Protection. Yeah. Good health. I mean, all these things we ask God for so much. Bless us with a growing ministry, a wonderful family, a spouse, health, all these things. We ask God to bless us. So, would you say that in our minds, a blessed life is synonymous with a successful life? Just think about it. I'm not asking, just think about it. When we think about blessings, do we attribute a blessing, and is it synonymous with a successful life? You know that in the New Testament, there are 112 references to the word blessed, bless, or blessings. None of them have to do with prosperity. None of them. And that's when we use it, how we use it the most, I think. And none of them have to do with that. Blessing is typically connected with either poverty, a trial, or the spiritual benefits of being joined closely by faith to the Lord. That's how it's usually explained and shared. To be blessed means to be fully satisfied. To be blessed means to be fully satisfied. To be blessed means to receive God's favor regardless of the circumstances. In other words, you are satisfied with God regardless of what's going on. You are blessed. You, according to the scriptures, are blessed. Let's read these scriptures with this definition in mind. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Yeah, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. Persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. We've heard the blessed quotes from celebrities. We've talked about how we say a blessing is. These are Jesus' words. Jesus also said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. There's no blessing in hearing the word of God. That doesn't calm your storms. It's hearing it, trusting it, and obeying it. James in James 1 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised those who love him. Here's a question I want to ask. Can pain, trial, and loss be blessings? Why? How? How can pain, loss, and trials be blessings? Yes. Yeah. The trials, she says, the challenges make us look to our Father in heaven. And for some people, that's the only time we do. Yes. Okay, so discipline leads to a blessing. Discipline, if it leads to him, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Manifest the perfect plan of God through trials. Yes. That's what my. Wow. Yeah. One of my favorite scriptures in 2 Corinthians 1 talks about God comforts those who, we can, because of our comfort from God, we can comfort those who are going through the same things we're going through. What a blessing to be able to reach out and have an impact on people's lives because of what God has done for us. Yeah. Hard times give us the emotional maturity that we need. The emotional maturity that we need. Some people are 63 chronologically, but 13 emotionally. And I'm serious. Because there are times in our life that we stop growing emotionally because it's too painful, it's too hard, so we go, I'm not going there, I'm not ever going there, and you stay at that age. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Wow. So when you have a chronic illness, is it enough that we're going to heaven and we have a relationship with God and we're suffering so much on this earth? Every day we get up, we're in some kind of pain. Something's happening. Is it worth it? Yeah. Kareem. All things work together for the good of those who love him according into his purpose. I wish we could get there every day. I wish our days were filled with that scripture. Our minds were filled with that scripture. Our heart was filled with that scripture. Can pain and trial and loss be a blessing? They can push us deeper into a relationship with God than we ever thought possible. They can stretch us. They can get us on our knees. They can make us rest in God alone. We have so many examples of it in the scriptures. But do we apply it to our lives? Paul had a thorn in his flesh. And it was a physical thorn. You ever have somebody that's just taunting you? And just trying to tear down your name? Try to get to you? Get under your skin? Paul says, we have somebody in Corinth like that. And I pleaded with God three times, take this thorn away. I think Paul was saying, I ain't going to kill him, but can you? And the blessing, well, was it in the thorn? Well, kind of. But the blessing really was in the wrestling and the response when God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. But the real blessing isn't before when he said, to keep me from becoming conceited. To keep me from becoming conceited, God gave me this flesh. What a blessing. Is that what you say every day when you have trials? To keep me humble, God has given me this husband. To keep me dependent on him, God has given. To keep me understanding that the daily bread comes from him. Boy, that bank account is so empty. But my treasure in heaven is there. I mean, is that where you go? Do we live a blessed life? So all these good things, family, health, nice homes, great job, we thank God for, and we should. We should. We should be grateful. But they are not his greatest blessings. Don't be fooled. They're not his greatest blessings. If we're not careful, we get our delight in the blessing more than the blesser. More than the blesser. It's happened to me. It happens to me. It happens to all of us. God's greatest blessing always rests in God himself. When we have him, we are truly blessed. When we have him, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his compassion, his guidance, his wisdom, his word, his knowledge, his purpose, his mission, we're blessed. Now, you know, we sing about blessings all the time. We sing songs that have blessings in them. Blessed Assurance, wonderful song. Blessed Assurance, wonderful song. God Bless the Child, wonderful song. Bless His Holy Name. And we even sing God Bless America. There's a song that we sing called The Lord Bless You and Keep You. The Lord Bless You. And we sing that often, but do we really know what we're singing? Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. God, well, why don't we just read it, and then we'll talk about it. In verse 22, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. God wanted to make sure that he took the initiative with his people. He intended it to be a personal message. He wanted them to understand that all source of joy would be in their relationship. This is a priestly blessing. It is a command to God, of God to bless his people. Moses, Aaron, his sons, and their spiritual descendants were commanded specifically to bless God's people with this detailed command. God put the very words in the priests. They are his words and not theirs. And he wanted to get a message across to his people. This blessing was given at the close of their daily sacrifice. God used it to comfort to satisfy and encourage them. The Lord, he tells Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, I want you to bless the Israelites like that. You say these words. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. God loves his people. A blessing had in mind their greatest and highest good. God didn't want them to settle for comfort, for ease, for happiness, for wealth. God wanted them to be blessed. Truly blessed from God is higher than comfort. It's greater than ease. It's more excellent than happiness and wealth. He said, you tell these people, the Lord bless you. And that word bless means like God is on his knees. He's kneeling. He is kneeling to satisfy you. What an image. He's kneeling to satisfy you and to keep you, to watch over you, to attend to you, to preserve you like a bodyguard. So that word keep you means to be kept by God is the greatest blessing in this world. It's the greatest blessing in my life. And he says, the Lord make his face shine on you. Make his face shine on you. What a gift to enlighten, to brighten, to give them light as opposed to hiding his face. He's shining his face on you. And the Lord be gracious. Be gracious. You know, to know that God looks at them and notices them and kneels down to preserve them, to love them, and he's pleased with them, not because of what they do, but because of who they are. What a blessing. He's well pleased with them because what he had done and not what they are doing. There's no cooler peace than that. To know something, I can't even earn it. I'll never be good enough. It's God. What a blessing. What a blessing. I think of the prodigal son's father's shining face when he was coming home from being out there living a wild life, and to see his father come through those doors or whatever they had back then and just see his face shine and said, this is my son, he's back home. That's the face of God. What does the look of God's shining face do to a person when they see, not angry, not disappointed, not get your act together, but a shining face? What does that do to a person? What does that do to a man or a woman? What do you think? To see God's shining face, yeah. Yes. Yep. Life-altering inside and out. Do you know when I realized that God's not saying, you missed it. You missed the spot. Boy, you better. It's about time. When I love my dad and I love the authority that was in my life, but when I realized that God's face was different than that he looked at me and he really believed that I was fearfully and wonderfully made and I didn't have to do anything to please him, that was a face I'd never seen. I'd never seen that face. I've seen some faces. Yeah, good. I'd never seen that kind of face shining on me. I can come back to you, God, but do you realize what I did? And then his face said, do you realize what I've done on that cross? Realize what I did for you? I think we can say we're blessed. Spurgeon says, a look God's shining face is like a look of approval from God that creates a deep, delightful calm in your soul. Do you get there? Do you get there every day? And be gracious to you. The idea that God shows tender mercy and care for his people, God wanted them to know that. Why? So they wouldn't go to other gods, to foreign lands, in search of something they'll never get. The Lord lift his countenance upon you. He's saying that he wanted them to know his facial expression, his unpenetrable eyes and loving gaze. I want you to lift that up for you to see. Boy, you see a lot in the world, don't you? Road rage, disappointed spouse, disobedient kids. Look at my face. And give you peace. That word is shalom. Ceasing of hostility. God's word for wholeness, goodness, total satisfaction. And you can't get that from any Cadillac. It's a smooth ride, but it doesn't give you that peace like God. It's an abundant life that Jesus promised. Remember in John 10:10? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So satisfied. Have you noticed in this blessing how many times the Lord says you? This is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you, you guys are sharp, you peace. Six times. What's the point? It's toward you. Not my neighbor, not Fred, who always gets blessed, but you. Can you accept that? Can you receive that? Do you believe that? Well, if my circumstances were better, I would. That's why we're defining what bless is really all about. We often feel that God wants to bless, really bless, somebody else. He wants to bless you. So the singers, can you come forward? You know we're going to sing, right, before communion. Well, we have to sing, brothers and sisters. We have to sing with a new meaning and a new understanding of what it means to be blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. And I want you to stay seated, and I want this to prepare our minds and our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Let us sing, the Lord bless you and keep you, and think about this, God blessing you. Think about his face shining upon you, his grace caring for you. God lifting his gaze of approval on you and giving you peace that you didn't have prior to your communion with God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace
and give you peace
and give you peace
and give you peace.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Gracious
unto you
and be gracious.
gracious. The Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father in heaven, we come before you today. Father, we do say amen. So be it. Father, we are blessed. We are blessed to have your presence in our lives. We're blessed to have the wall of sin broken down forever. Father, we're blessed to be blameless in your sight. We're blessed to have your Holy Spirit counselor and comforter in our lives. And Father, I pray that every week we could remember the sacrifice you made for that blessing. Father, to understand how many hundreds of thousands of goats and sheep and animals were slaughtered, to realize that the holiness that you bring in one Jesus Christ was enough blood to be sacrificed for all of mankind. Father, we're humbled by that sacrifice. Help us, Father, to live a life in which we follow our Lord and our lives are transformed and changed. And Father, we, as instruments of you, can help others to be joined with you and reconciled to you. Father, refresh our memory of the blessing that you are. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray.